All right, guys, welcome back. MGM Marketabilities Podcast.
Yep.
This is Angie.
Hi. Wait, I was looking back there to refer to that, and it caught me off guard with the introduction.
Yeah.
So hello, all.
Yeah. Yes. You guys know Angie. She's around.
Hopefully. If not, Angie Wyatt, very, very honored to make your acquaintance.
Yeah, and if you guys could do us a favor. So we want to make a trade real quick.
No.
So
we're making a trade.
If apparently. You guys like and comment and share, I will be sending my love virtually to you.
Oh, that's good. That's a good trade.
And yeah. So yeah. So if you do actually do that, I love you. If you don't, then I don't. So, okay.
Are you knocking your leg underneath, or what are you doing?
No, the table's a little off kilter with the concrete. I need to go ahead and fix that.
Well, we did move.
We did.
To the areas, is it the largest podcast facility?
I was waiting for that.
Of growing media
in
our history. But it's so interesting that you brought up the trade.
Yeah.
Because I think this business of bartering is something that we should tackle head on.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because the conversations are coming up more and more.
For sure.
What are your thoughts?
Well, let's go back about 2,000 years.
Okay.
Before, I mean, it's not 2000, but probably longer than that.
Currency.
Yeah, when currency wasn't really existed, I mean, that's how people lived.
Right.
They're like, hey, I can grow oranges. Mm-hmm. You know, you supply wheat. Let's just make a trade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's pretty much just how the world existed.
Yeah.
So there's definitely nothing wrong with that.
I just feel like we've evolved, but we're going to we're going to talk about the positives. We're going to talk about the negatives of bartering, okay? Because we've all seen these cute little TikToks that are out there, and people have cute little messaging. So we'll get into that. But if you think about the practice as a whole, it gives you as an individual who perhaps specializes in something, right? It gives you the ability to trade for something that you may need or want that you currently do not have access to.
And if you deem it valuable.
Okay, therein lies the issue.
Yeah.
Because in this world of bartering, say we're in video production, right? And say someone else is in real estate, and obviously they need video to promote their, you know, all of the homes that they have, the people who are running the company.
Right.
And then they say things like, well, we can trade something here, surely, right? True. But the problem is, too many times there is not a clear understanding when you sit down or when you agree to these things, and then what you find at the end is perhaps the value is a little off kilter. Like perhaps we put X amount of dollars forward.
Yeah.
We thought they were bringing something else to the table. It really didn't satisfy our needs, and then there you are.
Yeah. And it's all perceived value on both ends,
yes.
Right? So it's really, what do you value in the trade? Is that valuable enough to you?
Right.
And can you financially do a trade? Like there are times whenever you are in your business and you cannot trade a product for a service or a service for a product. You need money.
Like, you need to eat.
Yeah.
You need to pay your rent.
Yeah.
You know, you have deferred payments. You have, I mean, I don't, I got out of them and I hope never to enter the realm of credit card debt again, but you have payments that you have to make, your car, your home, whatever.
Yeah. And maybe if you are renting an apartment or something and you are a videographer, you could offer your services to your landlord.
That's
to
a good
then
idea.
Get free rent or
that is a good
rent
idea.
Off. Like that's it's always a viable option. Like, of course, but you can only trade so much,
right?
Because you still, like, there are a lot of places. Walmart is not
going to trade for a side of beef.
And they're not going to barter.
No.
Like you can't barter. Like when I was on the streets of Thailand, you could barter. You could barter anything. Like the price is not the price.
How many people went with chickens in their hand? Could they barter for this chicken, I want.
No, they were set up for Americans. So there's a bunch of stuff you don't need. a little gizmos and gadgets.
So
and,
true.
And stuff that I would never use, but I still bought anyway because
it was cool.
Well, and like the exchange rate, you know, so like, it's like I was bartering like for a dollar or something, but they thought it was more money.
You're like
to
too
them.
Much.
Yeah.
Too much. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. See, that's the problem is, you know, again, that perceived value, which you talked about, and then there's never really a contractual agreement on these things either. Right. So you can get to the end and perhaps what you thought you were going to receive, you don't.
Yeah, I always think, when I think of like bartering or trading, is it's based on the relationship and the understanding between the two individuals or two companies that are trading.
Right.
And if it's not really understood, then it doesn't feel right.
Right.
Like I think we are more happy to trade with someone who we've either done business with for a while, mm-hmm. because we already have that like relationship built and there's some trust built, and we both know that we're not trying to screw each other over.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
But when in a brand new relationship, when someone first comes out with a trade, you're like, are they going to hold up their end of the bargain?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. is this good or bad? That's always tough because it's like money is money, right? Mm. Like it doesn't change.
Money talks, beep walks. Okay. Yeah. So that's okay. That is a good point there. Yeah. And the time that you do want to seriously consider bartering, it's a great way to get the word out about perhaps your new business.
Oh, for sure.
You know, in particular, we do video production, audio edits. We do all sorts of wonderful things. And if we know that there are established individuals or established businesses out there who could help bring business to us, that's going to be a really desirable consideration at that point.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think we're more than happy to trade. If they're like, oh yeah, we will bring you 3 clients.
Yeah.
If you know
that
what
helps.
I mean?
That helps.
Yeah. And it's in, yeah. But again, that's based on the trust and the relationship that you have with that person.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, can be finicky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now let's go a step further, because here at Growing Media, we love to grow relationships and we love to help people. And the other thing I would share with you is, okay, we talk about bartering and trading services and such, but we've also, over the years, all of us, I know this is something that's been very, very important to you, and it has been to me. We all know about tithing. We all know about giving back. We all know about, for instance, those corner bakeries, right? At the end of the day, if they've got muffins or something that didn't mm-hmm. sell, rather than tossing those,
surplus.
You know, there's always a shelter around the corner. There's always somebody who's hungry and needs that. So it's sharing what is left over without just trashing it, because there can be value applied there.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you to do that. We do a lot of that where we might take on some clients who we know obviously will not have the budget that some of the other clients have, because, you know, as part of your business plan, you set that marketing budget up. And when you work for a not-for-profit, it's harder to put money into that column, right? Because
for sure.
it's tough to justify that. But we've done that for years. And let me tell you, it's returned to you tenfold usually.
Yeah. And I think also speaking on that is like, you know, you went back to the baked goods, like there's too much at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It could be as simple as like, so for example, when I worked at a pizza place when I was in college, we would always trade a pizza for like the taco shop down the street. They would give us a bunch of tacos.
Stop.
Yeah. We would do this all the time because we were tired of eating pizza and pasta.
Right.
Because we ate it all the time, and they were tired of eating tacos and whatnot. And we did this all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Like if we knew we were going to have a late night, you know, with the, you know, we're up until 11 or 12 or whatever.
Right.
Nobody wants pizza. Like, we're all tired of it. We've been making it all night.
Yeah. Let me tell you what I like. And taking me back to that time when, you know, you're desperate for money to buy food or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're just starting out. Having a job in the restaurant industry is one of the best jobs, because when they get an order wrong and it goes back to the window, man, that stuff is gone in like 2 seconds flat, you know? Yep. So I'd like to thank all those restaurants that I worked for over the years, because they fed me. You know, and
I mean, I can tell you, my dad was happy because I still lived at home at the time.
Oh boy.
And I brought pizza home all the time.
Yeah. They let you do that?
Well, we had screw ups and stuff. Okay. And then,
nobody wanted the pizza because they're tired of it.
Well, and I was also very convincing to my managers.
Yeah.
There was only one time when I went too far.
What'd you do?
I made her cry.
Why?
I didn't mean intentionally. I just was like, I really wanted the pizza, and I was kind of mean. I was hangry.
Is that your last day?
No.
It should have been.
It should have been, because, yeah.
Jeez. Yeah.
But no, she was actually very nice about everything, but she was very hurt about how I treated her.
The many sides of Lucas. I didn't know you could be rude like that.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't normally or anything. It was just, it was kind of a one-time thing.
What did you say?
I honestly don't remember exactly what I said.
Like you saw red and you're like, I'm taking the pizza.
Yeah. I think it was something about my dinner break. Cause you know, you get like a break at for an 8 hour shift.
Do you? I don't remember
legally
those.
For an 8 hour shift, you have to take a lunch break or a dinner break or whatever.
I might need to revisit all of that
for 30 minutes.
So many years ago. Yeah.
And I wanted something, but I guess the owner had set new rules that I didn't know about. And she was just trying to abide by those rules, trying to be a good
manager.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And like, so there were only specific menu items we could have for free for our dinner.
Right.
And I was not having it.
You felt like you had earned the supreme pizza with every topping.
Yeah, with my excellent dishwashing skills that I had, and I was superior above everybody else.
Dude,
yeah, no,
geez.
it was bad.
Yeah,
but
wow.
Yeah. So, but anyways, back to trading.
we were dealt a little dose of that today, where we're not naming any names, but you know, you have these discussions and it's always good to be transparent and just put it out there.
Yeah.
You know, in business today, it's like, what do you really want? What are you capable of doing? And so the other side of the bartering thing is people will say, well, look, I'm opening this new business and I need you to put a roof on. And then when my business takes off, I might give you a percentage of this business because it's going to be doing so well.
Sure.
How does that roofer know that it's going to do well and not go under?
Right. I don't know.
That's when the little contractual agreement might come into play.
Yeah, right.
Because either you're going to return my money for the labor and the supplies by year whatever.
Yeah.
Or here's the cost with a little inflation.
Right. Yeah, which I think is fair.
I think it's fair.
Yeah.
But how, do you have any guarantees? Because if he's out of business, what are you going to get?
It just depends.
See, that's why bartering,
that's
I don't
why
know,
you need,
man.
You need guarantees. You know?
You really
you need,
do.
You have to put all that in writing. Yeah.
Well, what sometimes they say, it's not worth the paper it's written on.
I think a lawyer would have something else to say about that.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
I think the law would have something else to say about that.
Okay.
But it also depends on if it's worth the battle.
Yeah.
In court.
Exactly.
And, stuff,
so. And so many times people say it's not. But
yeah.
Anyway, all right, guys. What? What
well,
are we doing?
We've only been going for like 10 minutes.
We've been going much longer than 10 minutes. We like to give you little bite-sized pieces of business and
yeah.
Information. What you got?
Well, I was just going to say, like, I think bartering with people locally.
Yes.
Can also be really great for your relationships just with the community.
100%.
Because I think there's a lot of times whenever you're upfront, high prices constantly, in, you know, and it's like people can't even get access to you. They see you as like this hierarchy or mm-hmm. something, right? Mm-hmm. Of like, you're impossible to work with.
Right.
Because of cost? Because of cost or just the image that we put off.
Okay.
Or that you put off.
Okay.
And so I think coming in and working, like we are working with a non-for-profit.
We are.
And that makes us look way more approachable.
Sure.
To people. Does that make sense?
I agree.
And so I think you can do some bartering even just with some local, like even if you just, like I know we've been trying to barter with a local city. Mm-hmm. Here in the area mm-hmm. to do some stuff for them, for
right.
them to help us in return. You know what I mean? Like putting them on the show or doing some really, really cool videos to kind of put them on the map.
Right.
I think it's always a cool way to do some sort of trade like that makes you a part of the community.
100%.
That makes sense.
We've done it for 12 years and he's talking about the TV show, The Spiel. We've been on the air for 12 years now, and we have, through that show, have created a stage for people where you can come on. We have had people pay to come on because maybe they're pitching a service or whatever, and then we've had those times where we just invite people on as our guests as a way mm-hmm. of giving back, and like you said, in hopes that it's returned to us just because we are being a good community member, if you will.
Yeah, and I think it just, for me, it's like access. Like people then have access to you.
Oh yeah,
because they saw you do this for them. They're mm-hmm. like, oh okay, I can approach them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Absolutely. And you do need to be creative when you're first starting out. That's the reason that show was born. Is we started the marketing ad agency first. And then we thought, okay, depending on the size of our client, sometimes they're going to have money to put it on mainstream, which is television or now streaming, and social media and digital media. And sometimes they're not. Sometimes the budget takes, or the production takes up a big portion of the budget.
Totally.
So we always said, well, we're buying airtime.
Right.
We're doing this TV show. So we'll bring our clients with us and we'll post those commercials. And man, that's really, that's something that has bode well for us over the years, where, you know, that's an ace in the hole where you say, we're going to give you that airtime because we already buy it.
Right.
Why wouldn't we let you benefit from it?
Yeah. And it's way cheaper.
Way cheaper. You mean like free when it's free to them? I mean, they worked, we work for them, but so I guess the airtime's not really free because they've paid for the production, but the placement is nice because it's
That's what I'm saying. The placement is
free,
like,
to them.
Yeah. Like, how are you supposed to beat that?
You can't.
Right.
Our phones are about to be ringing off the hook here at Growing Media, no doubt.
Yeah. And no then doubt. The last one is economic resilience. So mm-hmm. whenever the economy is kind of funny, which we're kind of in the middle of that right now. It just has been funny for the last, like, 6 months?
That's what they say.
And I've spoken to multiple business owners in the last few weeks, and they say especially for the last 3 months, there's just been some, it's just random up and down.
It's like wonky.
It'll be good for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden it'll be just awful.
Right.
And you're like, how am I supposed to pay my employees?
Right.
So a barter can be great in that time for your business or for someone else's business.
That's right.
Because maybe they don't have the money offhand to pay you, but they have something of value that you can actually trade for.
You know, resiliency, that's, you hit the nail on the head there. It's, even in troubled times, there are ways to survive and stay afloat. You know, you may have to pull back some, but the key is you want to be marketing your business. You can't ever stop doing that.
No, you have to continuously assume that people don't know who you are.
Correct. I mean, McDonald's still does it to this day.
Right.
Nike still does it to this day. Disneyland or World or, I mean, and you think everybody knows.
Who are those companies?
Right. It's like little known, Apple and, you know. But it's constantly just reminding people that in downtime, sure, we're here for you. We need you to be here for us, because in the up times, you know, everybody's enjoying it. And that's a time to also pay people back who invested in you or perhaps bartered with you early on when you needed it most.
That was good.
Thanks. That was really good. Did that come full circle?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, guys. MGM Podcast, produced by Growing Media. Also, check out that TV show, The Spiel. We would appreciate it. And you can find us at growingmediamarketing.com.
Boom.
Bye.
See you.